Blog Talk Radio.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Makes my healing complete. It doesn't matter how I feel. When his stripes say I am healed, I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Hey. And it belongs to me. All blessing belongs to me.
Good evening, Israel family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara'al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. Like always, I'll remind you all to grab your notepad, your iPad, your Bibles, you know, pens, pencils, whatever you need for a good study. As always, I'll start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to gather as this day comes to an end and the Sabbath approaches. We thank you for protecting us throughout the course of the week. We thank you for opening our minds to the wonders of your word. and we thank you for the lessons and the blessings. We thank you for the healing that you've given us, the security that you've given us, the strength that you've given us, the love that you've given us, the kindness, the joy, the peace. But ultimately, we thank you for thy son, Yahushua, for it is through him and only through him may we have an opportunity to meet you, O Father. We thank you, our friends and family, for all they have done and helping us as we walk this walk with you and travel along your word in that journey to meet with you, O Father. Father, we ask of thee to open our minds to receive the wonders of your word on this day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Shalom again, listening audience, friends, family, and Israel. Thank you for, once again, attending a lesson of Can It Be That Simple? And this particular lesson, the title is Take Each Day as It Presents Itself to You. And the title of this lesson came, you know, throughout the course of the week, you know, going to work, coming home, going to the gym, getting my rest for the day. And it, you know, was just thinking. And sometimes we as individuals, we anticipate what our day is going to be versus just allowing the day to come, especially when the Father opens our eyes and to see a new day. But we can't anticipate what the day is going to bring. We can't. But some of us do, because we're trying to lead and guide our life based on what we think it should be, when in essence, we're supposed to be following the Lamb as he travels. And if the Lamb takes you here and takes you there, that's where you should go. But that's where the title comes from, you know, because, like I said, you know, just sitting back and anticipating a bad day and anticipating a good day. You know, like we live in a day and time where people are talking about the energy. Oh, I don't want that negative energy. Oh, I'm trying to pull in that positive energy. You know, but what about the energy that's flowing within you? Are you even monitoring that? Because sometimes it's that energy that's within you that causes your day to be the way it is. So we're going to start off with, start with a few scriptures. I think later down the line I got a couple definitions, but when we get there we'll go over them. But we're going to start here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Oh, by the way, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Thank you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. We've heard this scripture before, and I think I recently read it in one of the other sessions. And it reads, Hear, Israel, Yahweh is our mighty one. Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's why I'm stopping at. See, because when we wake up, when the Father allows us to wake up, see, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Giving him praise, giving him the glory when we wake up. Because it is his strength that allows us to live. So if we wake up giving him glory and giving him praise, what is he going to do? He's going to continue to protect you, guide you. Not saying if you don't get up and don't don't give him praise that he's not going to protect you, because he is protecting you. But do you realize he's protecting you? See, because when we don't realize that he's protecting us, we do some frivolous things. But when we know he's protecting us, that means we know he's watching us. So we know he's going to be paying attention to us. So we're not trying to do anything that's going to upset him. Just like a parent and a child. A child is not going to sit around and do disruptive things in front of their parent because they know their parent is going to deal with them accordingly. Unless you have a parent that's a little irresponsible, then that parent is not going to correct their kids. But the scripture says something about that. It says, spare the rod, he spoils the child. Because the scriptures also say, Yahweh loves those in whom he chastises. I'm paraphrasing it. But I think he said, he chastises those in whom he loves. So it's not, and when we look up that word chastise, I think one of the definitions is instruct, discipline. And discipline is not abuse. And discipline doesn't always mean physical. So from here, we're going to go to John chapter 15. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10 and verse 12. And it reads, even as the Father has loved me, even as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. So going here, we're talking about that we wake up. What are we doing? Yahushua said that he loved us, and he kept his Father's commandments. So we too, if we love Yahushua, we're going to keep the Father's commandments also. And we're also going to love our brother and look out for his best interests. The scripture that comes to mind when Cain killed Abel. And I believe the father went to Cain and said, where's your brother? And Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are your brother's keeper. And now we have a commandment telling us to love our neighbor as ourselves or love one another. See, if I'm concerned about loving my brother, loving the Mighty One, loving Yahweh, I have no time to be concerned about me. And if I'm not concerned about me, then that means my selfish desires are being pushed down, being removed, because I'm taking that energy that I will put on myself and be concerned about myself on another. But who's taking care of me? The Father's taking care of you through his Son, Yahushua, through his angels. He's taking care of you. Why? Because you are taking care of his people. You're taking care of one of his loved ones. But do we look at the scriptures like that sometimes? Do we look at them like that? If I'm taking care of the next person, that I will be taken care of by my Heavenly Father. He will make a way for us. One of the things that we learned in, you know, when the people came out of Egypt and went into the desert, he told them, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And we've learned about when they was in that desert that their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. You know, they didn't have, you know, they had concerns about food. But even with that, he provided that food for them. He provided it for them. And that's what he does for us. He provides for us. But do we realize that he's providing for us? Realizing that he is the source and he grants us the resources to take care of the things that we take care of. Taking each day as it comes, learning what you need to learn,
but ultimately giving love to the Father, giving praise to the Father for that opportunity that he granted you. You know, going back to the scripture that talks about, you know, loving one another. I think I'm going to read a scripture a little later where it talks about, you know, your neighbor. And your neighbor, as we know, is the next person. But sometimes we have to understand where wives come into play. See, a lot of times we don't hear too many things about wives. Why is that? Because the Father said in his scripture, when you leave your father and your mother, cleave to your wife, and you become one flesh. So when you loving yourself, as it says, love your neighbor as yourself, your wife is a part of you. So when you're loving yourself, you're technically loving her also. But if you're not loving her, that means you're not loving yourself. That means you don't have a love for yourself. That means you don't have a love for the Father. See, because one of the things that we learn in regards to love, scriptures talks about how Abraham loved Isaac and Isaac loved Rebekah. What is he saying? He learned how to love from his father. And his father's love that he was shown, he showed it to his wife. Same thing, what we just read. The father showed Yahushua love. And what did he do? He loved us. He loved humanity. He loved his disciples. Just read that to you. See, this is what we're supposed to do to one another. Love one another. But we love one another with the love that we have for the Most High, that we have for the Father, that we have for Yahushua. And if we say that Yahushua dwells within us, that means that love that he showed to his disciples and to the people when he was here on earth, we're supposed to show that same love because this is the love that he has been given by his Father. When we say that Yahushua dwells within me, that spirit dwells within me. See, like we've learned over the years, these words are not put on pages just to sound good. These words are put on pages so that we can do these words, so we can show these words to people. When we look at, children and them growing up, children really learn from what they see. And then when they start talking, they mimic what they hear. See, because they don't fully understand what they're saying, but they're mimicking what they see, what they hear. And then the context in which they hear it. So when they repeat it, they're repeating it in the context in which they heard it. But they're learning from what they see. They're learning from what they hear. And then as they get older, then they learn how to comprehend. But in the meantime, in the between times, parents are supposed to be teaching them. And that's what happens with the word. We're being taught this word by the teachers, by the rabbis, by the priests. And we have to pay attention to what's being told. We have to pay attention to what's being shown so that we too can be good servants for the Most High because he sees us always. Whereas our teachers, they don't see us always. They see us in times when we come to study, when we come to service, when we interact. But the Father sees us all the time. From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 40. And it reads, "Teacher, the greatest commandment in the law." Yahushua said to him, "You shall love your mighty one with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. A second, likewise is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two. And that's taking us right back up to the first scripture we started with today. When you continue to read, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think it's 4 through 9, I believe. But, you know, we stopped at 5. And it's talking about giving that praise and honor to our Father, to the Mighty One. From here, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 11, verse 4. And it reads, Yahweh is in his holy temple. Yahweh is on his throne in heaven. His eyes observe, his eyes examine the children of men. What is that telling us? He sees us. He's watching what we do. He helps us. He guides us. Understand his word and what he requires of us as being children of men or as being his children. From here, we're going to go to Psalms 33, verse 18 and 19, and it reads, Behold, Yahweh's eye is on those who fear him and on those who hope in his loving kindness to deliver their souls from death, to keep them alive in famine. See, we're going to stop here for a minute. We're going to go to this word famine. Let me find my page real quick. This is the scripture I was telling you all about that we're going to stop on. We have a couple of definitions. So we're going to stop in this word famine. And in the Hebrew section of your lexicon or your concordance, the word is 7458. And it's ra'ab. Definition, famine, hunger. Then it comes from ra'ab, which means hunger, more or less extensive. Dearth, famine, famished, hunger. And then we're going to go to the word that it comes from, and that's ra'ab, and that's to be hungry. Definition, to be hunger, suffer to famish, be, have, suffer, hunger, primary root to hunger, suffer to. So in this particular scripture, I mean, I'm going to go back up to 7458, and I looked up the word dearth, because I don't use that word, as I said before, many times, you know, and I've said, you know, sometimes I don't use this word. And dearth means an inadequate supply, scarcity, lack. So in this particular definition for dearth, I looked up scarcity. And scarcity means rarity and frequent. So when we're looking at famine, it's not like famines come all the time. But during famines, most of the time when people think of famine, they think of famine as it relates to food. However, famine is not always can be linked to food. It can be linked to other things. We're going to look at the word famished means to suffer or cause to suffer extreme hunger or starve. As we, you know, as we continue to go through these definitions, they're relating to hunger and not eating. You know, but we always use, you know, consuming the word as a form of food. You know, because as the scriptures say, man shall not live by bread alone, but every spirit that proceedeth from the Most High. So we understand that spirit is hungry. That spirit is famished sometimes. Why? Because we're not feeding that spirit what it needs, that spirit of life. And because you're not feeding your spirit with the spirit of life, what are you doing? You're dying. You're dying inside. You might be living in the flesh, but you're dying spiritually. And eventually, when you die spiritually, eventually your body begins to shut down on you. It begins to affect you, that spirit that dwells within you. So from here, we're going to go to the word hunger. And hunger, from the verb perspective, to have a strong desire. See, sometimes we hunger for things. Why? Because we are famished, because it's coming infrequently when we have situations. And this is dealing with it from a spiritual perspective. Some things we strongly desire. And we want it, we want it, we want it. But it's not coming. It's scarce. It's a famine. And what are we doing? We're dying inside. Why? Because we have these things that we want. But then we have to be mindful of these things that we want. Are they for the good of us? Or are they for the bad of us? Because sometimes those things that we want so badly are not really that good for us, physically or spiritually or emotionally. So we have to do those things that's going to cause our spirit to be joyful, to have life. And how do we do it? We start our day off by giving praise to the Most High, understanding that He has given us grace and mercy and allowed us to open our eyes, come out of that slumber, come out of that sleep. But we have learned in the past that sleep is symbolic of death. And what do we do when we wake up in the morning? He resurrects us another day and give us an opportunity to get it right. As Paul says, we die daily, a daily sacrifice. A living, is what he say. How we are living sacrifice, because we're dying from the old man that dwells within us. But the only way that we can really do that, as we've learned before, by keeping the Torah, keeping his word in our mouths, on our brain, in our everything. Why? Because he is our everything. And if we make him our everything, we already know we are his everything. You know why? Because he has identified us as being Israel. And if you identify yourself as being Israel, you are his. And he tells us that. But you know if you're Israel is because you're striving to do the things of Yahushua. You're striving to keep the laws, statutes, and judgments. This is how you know you're Israel. And as we learn and we sing it in a song, by our love. From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7. And it's interesting, you know, while I'm reading this one, because, you know, I was having a conversation with, you know, with my Rob today. You know, and we was talking. And in the midst of our conversation, we going back to our vehicle so that we can, you know, part ways and whatnot. And came across this car. And this particular scripture was on it. So, you know, Rob brought it to my attention, and, you know, he looked it up, and we read it. And it was like, wow. But then, and came home and, you know, started adding some more things to my lesson. And then as I was going through the lesson, I was like, yo, hey, this is a fit. This is a fit. And the scripture that we came across on this gentleman's car, as he was pulling up the golden, you know, we crossed paths, put it that way. It was Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. But when I came home and read it, I went to verse 8, and then I went down to verse 12. But that's what I'm going to read to you. You know, and this is just another thing about each day. take it as it comes. Let it do its, you know, let it work out, work itself out. And it reads, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will open for you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Therefore, whatever you desire for men to do for you, also do to them. For this is the law and the prophets. See, we just got finished reading that. See, understanding the things that you want from somebody, you have to also do them. We can't just be hearers of the word. I'm going to read that a little later. But we have to be doers of the word. And we have to have the right intentions of why we're doing the things that we're doing, or why we're seeking the things that we're seeking, or why we're asking for the things we're asking. We can't be asking these things and seeking for these things for the wrong reasons, for the wrong motives, and think that the Most High doesn't understand and know our motives. He know our motives. The scriptures tell you, I know your thoughts from afar off. I know what you're thinking. And if we think that we can outsmart the Most High, then we're deluding ourselves. But we have to maintain and make sure that we're doing things with the right intentions. And that right intention is to give him honor and give him praise always. And thanking his son for the example that he has given us. And thanking his son for the strength that he has given us. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And it reads, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. Understanding that every time we interact with someone, everybody is not going to be kumbaya. Sometimes we have disagreements. Things don't always go our way when we interact with people. But that doesn't give us the right to have a grudge. We're not supposed to do those things. We're supposed to be mindful of what the scriptures say, and not assume that a person is despitefully trying to do you wrong. And if they are, the Most High knows this, and he's going to deal with them accordingly. What did he say in his scriptures? Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. See, Israel has been anointed. Israel has been chosen. So if we are amongst Israel and we have been chosen to do a work, he is going to protect us. He's going to deal with the person who does us do us wrong. But we have to stand firm in his word and have hope and have faith that his word is going to do what it's going to do, that his word is true. And it happens in his time, not our time. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, let every soul be in subjection to the higher authority, for there is no authority except from Yah. And those who exist are ordained by Yah. Therefore, he who resists the authority withstands the ordinances of Yah. And those who withstand will receive to themselves judgment. So we have to understand these things. We as individuals, if we have an authority that's greater than us, we have to realize that the Father has put them there for a reason. We may not know the reason, but we must obey and understand and do what's right. Listen to these people that's in authoritative positions over you. And do right by them. Because sometimes we think that we're doing right, when in essence we might be doing wrong. Individual doesn't walk in the same path, the same way that we are doing, but that yet they have been put in an authoritative position over us, let alone those who are walking this way or are part of Israel, the true Israel, and doing his will and having authority over you, and you believing that what they say is non and void. Scriptures say this is ordained by Yah, the Father. Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 15, and it reads, therefore, subject yourselves to every ordinance of man for Yah's sake, rather to the king as supreme or the governor as seen by him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise to those who do well. For this is the will of Yah, that by well-doing you should be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. See, we have to understand, this is just going back to what you're supposed to do. But when you're doing these things, you're doing these things because you're giving praise to the Most High. You're doing the best possible job. Why? Because you know that the Most High is watching you and seeing you and seeing what you're going to do. Seeing if you're going to believe in him. See if you're going to obey his word. Just like when Israel was in the wilderness. He said he suffered the hunger to see if they were going to keep his laws and keep his statutes and judgments. And as we read in the Torah, nah, they didn't do it. That's why a whole generation died or didn't go into the promised land, because they did not comply. They did not change their ways. They did not change their thinking. But he gives us a chance every day, or every opportunity he allows us to wake up, to get it right. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 12, 14, and 18. And they read, for the eyes of Yah are on the righteous, but the face of Yah is against those who do evil. But even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, neither be troubled, because Yahushua also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you, Abba, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Understanding that, we have to understand that unfortunately, people are not going to do us right. But the Father sees us, and he hears us. He hears our prayers. He sees us. He hears our prayers. And he tells us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the things that others are afraid of. Don't do it. Why? Because our Lord and Savior went through these things. And as it's alive. Because some things wear us down. It wears us down. But in the meantime, in between time, our spirit is supposed to be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Because that's why we have the word. when we get into those troubled times. Yeah, sometimes when in the midst of it, you ain't thinking about going to that word. When you're in the midst of an argument, you ain't thinking about going to that word. But you know what I know in my life, in the midst of an argument and whatnot, you know, that word comes up. And I said, nah, don't bring that up right now. Don't bring that up right now. Now I understand why I was being brought up. So I can get myself right. So I can get out of that anger. So I can get out of those foolish thoughts. That was that quiet, still voice speaking to me. But I wanted to be rah, 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 rah. Sometimes you just got to be still and just listen. And allow the Father to do what he's going to do to bring us out. Because sometimes when we just sit back and chill and give him praise and give him honor, he gives us the counsel that we need. He gives us the assistance that we need. He'll lead us to a book, lead us to his word, or allow our phone to ring to give us the counsel that we need when we need it the most. But the question is, do we heed the counsel when it's given to us? That's one of the issues. That's one of the questions we have to ask ourselves. Pay attention to what you're doing throughout the course of the day. Because every day is not going to be good and every day is not going to be bad. Some days are just a day. Wasn't neither good or bad. It was just a day. It could be that day in which you're supposed to reflect. That quiet day to reflect on the good days, on the bad days. Now we're going to switch gears. I'm going to read a couple scriptures, and these are about different patriarchs or forefathers and what was going on in their day. Picked a couple people. They was doing some things throughout the course of the day. And things happened. I don't think they woke up in the morning and said, hey, this is what I'm going to be doing or this is going to happen. Because we can't predict what's going to happen throughout the course of the day. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. And it reads, now Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the wilderness. And he came to Yahweh's mountain, to Horeb. Yahweh's angel appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the middle of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will go now and see this great sight, why the bush is not burning. When Yahweh saw that he came over the sea, Yahweh called to him out of the middle of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Father took me to this narrative. Why? Because Moses was just doing his job. He was out there just chilling, leading, guiding his flock to the back of this mountain. You know, whether he knew this mountain was what it was, but more than likely he did know. But he didn't anticipate on this particular day that he was going to meet the Most High, that he was going to meet Yahweh. He welcomed him. scriptures we're going to read. We're going to read chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. And this is just another narrative as far as someone doing something throughout the course of the day. And I believe this is a parable. So this is a parable that that was presented. And it reads, "One of the multitude said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' He said to them, 'Beware, keep yourselves from covetousness, for a man's life does not consist of abundance of things which he possesses.' He spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man produced abundantly. He reasoned with himself, saying, "What will I do, because I do not have room to store my crops?" He said, "This is what I will do. I will pull down my barns, build a bigger one, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. I will tell my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But the mighty one said to him, 'You foolish one, tonight your soul is required of you. The things which you have prepared, whose will they be?' So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward mighty one." So this particular one, as we see with Moses, he didn't wake up anticipating seeing the Most High or meeting the Most High. It's like in this parable, this guy woke up. In this parable, he woke up, looked at what he had, think about sharing it with anyone. He was just thinking about keeping it for himself. Created a bigger barn, put it up in there, then talked in the company of one, talking about how he got goods laid up for many years. And then the father came to him and said, "You know what? Today's your day. Your soul is required." Why? Because he had riches and didn't share them. He had riches and wasn't giving the Most High praise. So sometimes we have to be mindful of that. Are we waking up and giving the Father praise? Are we giving him praise for the things that he has given us? Are we being grateful and thankful for the things that we have? Or are we looking at the things that we have as something that we have acquired, that we have done to do these things? In this parable, he's not realizing that it's the Father that allowed his crops to be as abundant as they are. Nothing that he did. Sometimes that's how we get. We look at what we have, or we look at our stuff and think that we have done something great, not realizing that the resources have been given to us by the Most High for us to have the things that we have, and that we should be thankful for him choosing us and to share his wealth with us. And at the same time, we share our wealth that he has given us with others. As going back to the earlier part, love thy neighbor as thyself. Next one we're going to go to, we're going to go to 1 Samuel. We're going to read First Samuel chapter 16. We're going to read verses 3 to 5, and then we're going to read verses 10 to 12. Call Jesse. So when you deal with this narrative is, you know, dealing with Samuel and him, you know, being all, you know, Saul had just, you know, lost his kingship. You know, he just took it from him. So now Samuel was always, you know, oh, when am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know. And so the Most High calls Samuel and tells him to go to Jesse's house. So verse 3, it reads, call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show you what you should do. You should anoint to me him whom I name to you. Samuel did that which Yahweh spoke and came to Bethlehem. Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet me trembling and said, do you come in peace? Ultimately, we understand why the elders of the city are trembling. Why? Because this is the prophet. You know, unfortunately, sometimes people think the prophet is coming to bring bad news. So the elders, you know, I'm reading that again. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, do you come peacefully? He said, peacefully, I have come to sacrifice to Yahweh. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He sacrificed Jesse. He sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, Yahweh has not chosen these. Samuel said to Jesse, are all your children here? He said, there remains yet the youngest. Behold, he is keeping the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy, with a handsome face and a good appearance. Yahweh said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Father took me here. Why? His son, he was chilling, David. He was chilling out there with the sheep, chilling. Samuel came through to anoint him, but he wasn't amongst the group. Why? Because he was out chilling, having his day, dealing with the sheep. Just looking at it from this perspective. Every day, you just do what you're supposed to do. Do your job. Give praise to the Most High. Doing your job for the sake of the Most High. Why? Because he's the one that's seen you. Even though these men see you also. But see, men will give you praise and give you honor for the good job you're doing. And why? Because you're giving praise and honor to the Father. So we have to enjoy each day as it comes. Take it as it presents itself to you. But we have to start our day the right way. And as we go through the day, continue to give the Father praise and give him honor. Because he's always watching us. He's always protecting us. Even when we make silly decisions, he tries to help us from doing them. But as we come to realize some things, we have to learn. We learn from our mistakes. But we can't keep making the same mistakes over and over again. We're supposed to learn from them, so that we can share them with someone else, so that they will not make that same mistake that we made. However, that's not always the case, because you have the old adage, experience is the best teacher. So you have people who things versus listening to wise counsel. May wise counsel assist you in not making the same mistake. Wise counsel also help you to get through a situation that you may be in. Because those who are given the counsel are being led and guided by the Most High. because he created everybody. And he can use anyone, anything to teach us the thing that we need. But are we listening? As we started off, Shema Israel. Hear attentively to what's being said to you. Now we're going to switch gears again, because I think we're coming to the end of it. Yeah, we're coming to the end. Switching gears again. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 1, 8 and 9. And it reads, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be, and then you shall have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For Yahweh, your mighty one, is with you wherever you go." You hear that, family? Yahweh is with us wherever we go. Yahushua is with us wherever we go. So we have no reason to be dismayed, because it is his strength that's going to strengthen us. It is his love that's going to cause us not to be afraid. And it's his might that will assist us in overcoming. Meditate day and night. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in Yahweh's law. On his law he meditates in night." These scriptures that are being read is just to lead and guide us to understand, going back to the first scripture that started it off, Shema Yisrael, hear attentively, loving Yahweh with all our heart and with all our soul. And how do we show that love for him? By being obedient to his word, by keeping his commandments. And how do we keep his commandments? By meditating on them day and night, keeping them so that they can be ingrained in our minds, so that we become that living word, and understanding that we are supposed to be helping others. And how we help others is by them seeing us and hearing us speak the wonders of Yahweh's word. And from here, we're going to last scripture of the night, or of this teaching, is James chapter 1, verse 19 to 22. And it reads, "So then, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For anger of man does not produce the righteousness of Yah. Therefore, put away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness. Receive with humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not only hearers, deluding your own selves." See, sometimes when we, as we back and we understand, we do our studying, we do our hearing, we come up, we form our own opinions, and we only hear in the Word. We only hear it. And he's saying that if we only hearing it and not doing it, we're deluding ourselves. We're doing ourselves a disservice. Because the more you practice, the more you apply the word to your life, the better you become, the cleaner you become. You don't get into situations where you hear people say, well, I'm going to put down my religion. No. If you live in a certain way and Yahweh's word is on you or in you, you're always in his will, always in his way, regardless. You can't put it on the shelf and then pick it back up. You're either doing it or you're not. And if you're not doing it, you're deluding yourselves. You're lying to yourselves. So let's take advantage of each day that the Father gives us and start it off on the right note by giving him praise and giving him honor. And throughout the course of the day, give him praise and give him honor. Thank him for each moment that you get past, for each situation you go through. Ask him for counsel before situations arise that you have to encounter. Because he listens. He hears you. And I must say, you know, it's true. Because I work in a situation that I be going up on situations that I don't know what I'm going into. And I ask the Father to protect me. I ask him to give me the wisdom that I need for the situation that I'm about to come in, walk into. And he gives it to me. He puts me in places that keeps me away from danger. And I'll be thankful for that. And I thank him. And I know you all that are listening, you've been in situations like that, where you realize that, wow, Father put me here so I wouldn't have to deal with that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. But we have to always remember, each day that we are alive is a day for lessons and a day for blessings. And as we analyze that day, we realize what they were or what was given to us on that day. Because blessings can be a lesson and lessons can be a blessing. So at the end of the day, he's just showing you his love so that you can show that love to someone else. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Why? Because Yahushua showed you his love and took care of you when you were still yet sinners and gave you the opportunity to meet his Father, to be saved. But you have to do something. Remember, you have to do something. You have to be obedient to Yah's word. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to enter into another Sabbath day. We thank you for your tender mercies and loving kindness. We thank you for the health and strength that you've given us We thank you for taking care of our elders, strengthening them. We thank you for taking care of our teachers, strengthening them. We thank you for taking care of our leader of our congregation here in Beth Yahweh. We thank you for allowing us to see this moment. But ultimately, we thank you for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, and soon coming King, who was through his sacrifice that we are able to become clean again. Father, we ask of thee to protect us throughout the course of this night and allow us to rise up in the morning to give you praise and give you honor. We ask of thee to protect us from danger seen and unseen, allowing us to stand on your word in our conscious mind as well as our unconscious mind, believing in you and resisting the devil, and having that full armor to protect us. And thank you for giving us the fruit of thy Spirit, the character of thy Son, Yahushua. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you all have a peaceful and restful summer. Shabbat shalom.
Yah commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yah, our Elohim, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before Yah, our Elohim, as he has commanded us. Praise you, Father Yah.
I will not have any other Elohim before you, nor bow down to any graven images. Will take the name of Yah, my Elohim, in vain. I'll do. Remember the Sabbath day, sanctify.
Bible and opened it up. Yeah. And I saw that I was living wrong. Wild out, yes I was. Now I do my best to follow these laws. Oh yeah. And I decided I'll stop playing games. I don't wanna be the same like I used to be. Oh no. Too much, and the truth out the truth back and forth too much.
Just tell me what you want me to do. sufficient for today. When I'm worried about tomorrow, I won't be overwhelmed. And the burdens that I carry, I will choose to lay them down. 'Cause what I learned about your favor, your mercy and your grace, if they go on forever, they're sufficient for today. And hallelujah, 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 they're sufficient for today. And hallelujah, 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 they're sufficient for today. In the joy and in the sorrow, I find you just and behind my darkest morning, there's a peace I can't explain. Oh, I'm so grateful for your favor, your mercy and your grace. They go on forever, it's sufficient for today. And hallelujah,
before.